Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve. And this show is for Monday, December the 5th, 2016. We had a glitch in the file and I had to redo it, so you may be getting this a little late. My apologies for the recording error. Today we will be covering chapter 19 and 20 of the book of 1 Samuel. So let's get into it right away here. This is an exciting section of Samuel. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Spoke Shaul to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, to kill David. But Jonathan, son of Shaul, delighted in David greatly. They were very great friends. Verse 2, and Jonathan told David, saying, Shaul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now please guard yourself until morning. Abide in a hiding place, 5643, and hide yourself, 2244. Verse 3, I will go forth and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father of you, and what I see I will tell you. Verse 4. Jonathan spoke well of David to Shaul his father, saying to him, Let not the king sin, 2398, against his servant David, because he has not sinned, 2398, against you, and because his deeds, 4637, for you, are very good. Now, 2398 here means to fail in duty, miss the mark, so to speak. And he's telling his father not to fail in duty to David, because David has not failed in duty to him. So that's just common sense. Let's see if it works. Verse 5, he put his life in the palm of his hand, 3709, and slew the Pelishti. Now he's speaking of Goliath, the great big giant. And Yahweh wrought a great victory, 8668, for all of Israel. You saw and rejoiced. Why should you sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Without a cause is 2600. Verse 6, Shaul listened to the voice of Jonathan. And Shaul swore, now he's going to swear by Yahweh here, as Yahweh lives, he shall not be slain. He made that oath by Yahweh. He's not going to keep it. Another big sin. Verse 7, Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all those things. Then Jonathan brought David to Shaul, and he became in his presence as in times past. In other words, he would sit around and play instruments to soothe him when he got upset. and he was a commander in his military forces as before. Verse 8, there was war again. Dawid went forth and fought with the Philistim and smote them with a great slaughter, and they fled before him. Verse 9, the spirit of evil, in other words, evidently the manic depression, from Yahweh was upon Shaul as he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand. And Dawid played with his hand. He played soothing music to soothe Shaul. But Shaul's sitting there with a javelin. Verse 10. Shaul sought to smite Dawid to the wall with a javelin, but he escaped. That's Petar, 6362. From Shaul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall. In other words, he missed him. Dawid fled and escaped 4422 that night. That's 4422 is Malet, and has slipped away. Verse 11. Sent Shaul messengers to the house of Dawid to keep a watch on him and kill him in the morning. So much for that oath sworn to Yahweh. But Dawid's wife, Michal, told him, saying, if you do not save, 4422 again, as escape for your life, tonight, tomorrow you shall be slain. And verse 11 is in the title of Psalm 59. You can reference that. Well, she's going to help her husband escape. Verse 12. Michal let Dawid down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Verse 13. Michal took a teraphim, 8655. That's a household idol used as an oracle or a weather god or some such. It's a household idol. And laid it in the bed and put a fly net, 3523, of goat's hair, 5795, at its head place, 4763, and covered, 3680, covered it with a coverlet, 899. In other words, she's making it look like somebody's in the bed, putting that thing up there looking like hair. Verse 14, when Shaul sent messengers to take away Dawid, she said, he is sick, 2470, Kolel. Verse 15, sent Shaul again messengers to see Dawid, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him. Again, so much for that oath, he's not going to keep it. Verse 16, but when the messengers came, behold, a teraphim was in the bed with a fly net of goat's hair at its head place. Verse 17, said Shaul to Michal, for what reason did you deceive me so and send away my hated enemy to escape? And Michal said to Shaul, now this is his daughter, he said to me, let me go, 7971. Why should I, 4100, be put to death, 4191. Now this is a corrected translation in verse 17 because they had it looked like he threatened Michal in the King James, and that is not so. This is verbatim what it says in the Hebrew, what I just read. Verse 18, Dawid fled and escaped and came to Shemuel at Ramah and reported all that Shaul had done to him. And he and Shemuel went and dwelt in Naioth, 5:1-1. Now, Naioth was the abode of the prophets. They all lived together there. Verse 19. It was reported to Shaul, saying, "Behold, Dawud is at Naioth in Ramah." Verse 20. "Sent Shaul messengers to take away David. They saw the company of prophets speaking in ecstasy." Now that's religious ecstasy. "And Shemuel positioned, presiding," 5:3-4, "over them. And the spirit of Elohim came upon the messengers of Shaul. And they also spoke in ecstasy." Now, Yahweh's hand is in this, folks. There's no doubt. You read this, it's very obvious that he is protecting Dawud. Verse 21. "And when it was reported to Shaul, he sent other messengers. And they spoke in ecstasy also." Shaul again sent messengers the third time, and they spoke in ecstasy also. Yahweh is just not going to let him do this. And here it comes, verse 22. "Then he went also to Ramah and came to a great cistern," 953, "that is in Seku," 7906, "and asked," 7592, "saying, where are Shemuel and Dawud? They replied, behold, at Naioth in Ramah." Verse 23, "He went there to Naioth in Ramah, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him also, and he went on speaking in ecstasy until he came to Naioth in Ramah." Verse 24, "He stripped off his clothing also and spoke in ecstasy before Shemuel also, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Shaul also among the prophets?" You just don't mess with Yahweh, folks. He made all of the murderers that he sent. They sent, they're called messengers here, but they were there to kill him. They're going to kill Dawud on Shaul's orders. And it didn't come to pass because Yahweh put his hand in it and overcame them with the Holy Spirit. And I want to reiterate about verse 17. Verse 17 was very badly translated and made it look as if David threatened his wife Michal. He did not, and the corrected translation shows it. I correctly translated the Hebrew, and she did it out of love. And this is just another example of Yahweh's grand plan. He's going to make Dawud the king over Israel. Doesn't matter what Shaul tries to do, he's not going to let him hurt Dawud. Just doesn't do it. Well, let's get into chapter 20. And here, Jonathan helps Dawud escape. And verse 1 says, "Dawud fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your Father that he seeks my life? He was absolutely dumbfounded, perplexed. He just didn't understand. He was serving the king and doing everything that he could possibly do for the kingdom. And yet Shaul is trying to kill him out of paranoia. He was going mad. Shaul was off the track very far. Verse 2. He replied to him. This is Jonathan speaking to Dawood. Far be it. 2486. Far be it, you shall not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, that he will not disclose, 1540, to my ear. Why should my father hide this thing from me? It shall not be. Verse 3, Dawood swore moreover, and swore moreover in the Septuagint is translated as replied to him. So there's two different versions, one in the Hebrew and one in the Septuagint. David swore moreover and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he says, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, 6087. But as Yahweh lives, and as you live, there is but a step, 6587, between me and death. Said Jonathan to Dawood, whatever you say, I will do for you. Verse 5, said Dawood to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and it's actually new month. It's 2320, literally moon, but it means the beginning of a new month. And I must sit, 3427, doubled, with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at evening. Verse 6. If I am noted absent, 6485, doubled, by your father, in other words, I don't make muster. That's what that word means. Pakod yupikadeni. If I am noted absent by your father, say, Dawood earnestly asked, 7592 doubled, of me that he might run, 7323, to Bethlehem, his city, for an annual, 3117, here Yom is used as a year, an annual sacrifice there for all his family. Verse 7, if he says thus, good, your servant shall have peace. But if he burns with anger, that's 2734 doubled, karo wakere. Know that it is determined, 3615, to do harm, 7451. From him, 5973. Verse 8. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, because you have brought your servant into a covenant of Yahweh with you. If there is iniquity in me, slay me yourself. For why should you bring me to your father? Dawood still hasn't figured out that he hasn't done anything wrong, that the king is crazy. He's always looking for blame in himself because he's a humble man. Even though he's going to be a great king, he's humble. He's a servant of Yahweh. Oh, hot coffee. Verse 9. Said Jonathan, far be it from you, because if I know for certain that harm were determined by my father to come upon you, would I not tell you? That bronchitis is acting up again today. Said Dawid to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if your father answers you harshly? Verse 11, said Jonathan to Dawid, come, go forth into the field. And both went forth into the field. Now this is just a wild area outside. They call that fields. The wild area outside town. They grazed animals there, and there's places to hide. Verse 12, said Jonathan to Dawid, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, that means Yahweh, the God of Israel, when I search 2713 my father about tomorrow at this time, or the third, and behold, if good 2895 toward Dawid, and I do not send for you, and disclose it to your ear. Verse 13, continuing, Yahweh do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it is pleasing to my father to harm you, I will disclose it to your ear and send you away to go in peace, and Yahweh be with you, as he has been with my father. Because Yahweh's no longer with Shaul at all. He is engineering his total downfall. Verse 14. Nor while I yet live, will you not do to me the kindness of Yahweh, that I die not? Verse 15, but not cut off kindness from my household forever. No, not when Yahweh has cut off the hated enemies of Dawid, every man from upon the surface of the ground. He knows that Dawid is going to be king too. And verse 15, you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 16, so Jonathan made covenant with the house of Dawid. Let Yahweh seek it at the hands of Dawid's hated enemies. Verse 17. Jonathan and Dawid swore again because he loved him as he loved himself. Brotherly love, not homosexual nonsense. These are two great men that are fast friends. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that doesn't mean be queer. So I don't want to hear this nonsense. Oh, they were homos. No, they weren't. Verse 18. Said Jonathan to Dawid, tomorrow is the new moon. In other words, that's the beginning of the new month. And you will be missed because your seat will be empty. 6485. Verse 19. The third day, 8027, go forth quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed. 4639. And remain, 3427, by the stone Ezel, 237. That means stone of departure in the Hebrew. That's what that is, the stone Ezel, the stone of departure. They these great big rocks, they named them. They were marker spots. Verse 20. I will shoot three arrows on the side as though I shot at a mark, 4307. That's Limatara as a target. Verse 21. Behold, I will send a boy saying, go, find the arrows. If I expressly say to the boy, behold, the arrows are on this side of you, take them and come. Because it is peace to you and no charge, 1697, as Yahweh lives. Now, 1697 can mean matters or words. I mean, it has multiple meanings. But it can also mean a charge. There would be no matter concerning you. Verse 22. But if I say this to the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond you, go, for Yahweh has sent you away. Verse 23, and the matter which you and I spoke of, behold, Yahweh be between you and I forever. Faithful to Yahweh, both of them. Great men. Verse 24. So Dawud hid himself in the field. And when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat bread. Now the new moon is the dark of the moon. Okay, it's very dark outside. Verse 25, the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Shaul's side, and Dawud's place was empty. Verse 26, Shaul did not speak anything that day, because he said in his heart, it's accidental. 4725. He is not clean. 2889. Surely he is not clean. That's ritual cleanliness. Verse 27. It was on the morrow, 4283, the second of the month, that Dawud's place was empty, and Shaul said to Jonathan his son, wherefore, in other words, for what reason, 4069, comes not the son of Yishai to bread, neither yesterday nor today? Verse 28. Jonathan answered Shaul, Dawud earnestly asked me to go to Bethlehem. Verse 29, saying, let me go, please, because our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he has commanded me. In other words, his older brother, the leader of the family. Now, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me slip away, 4422, please, and see my kinsman. Therefore, he does not come to the king's table. Verse 30, then Shaul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a twisted, rebellious woman. And twisted is 5753, Na'arath, and rebellious is 4780, Hamareduth, and that is in the feminine gender. If it was Hamareda, it would be male, but it's Hamareduth, Therefore, it's a female gender, so woman is implied. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Yishai to your shame, 13:22, and to the shame of your mother's nakedness, 6:1-7:2. Huh? In other words, your friend with David, and you have shame, and the shame of your mother's nakedness, in other words, to the mother that bore you? This guy's crazy. Saul is off the charts at this point. Verse 31, because as long as the son of Yishai lives upon the ground, you shall not be established, 3:5-5:9, nor your kingdom. In other words, you're not going to inherit the kingship from me as long as this guy lives. Now send and fetch him to me, for he is a son of death, literally appointed to death. Ben Maweth, 11:21 and 41:94, and it's literally a son of death. Verse 32, answered Jonathan Shaul his father, saying, for what reason shall he be slain? What has he done? Now this next verse, verse 33, shows you how far Shaul has gone into insanity. Verse 33, Shaul cast a javelin at him to smite him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill Dawud. He missed him. He threw a javelin at his own son to kill him. Verse 34. So Jonathan rose up from the table in fierce, 27:50, anger, and ate no bread that the day of the month, the second, because he was pained, 6:08-7, Ne'etzab, for David, for Dawud, because his father had humiliated him, 3:6-3:7, Hikalimo, verse 35. It was in the morning that Jonathan went forth into the field at the set time with Dawud and a little boy with him. Verse 36, he said to the boy, run, find now the arrows that I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow past him. When the boy came to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the boy, saying, is not the arrow beyond you? Now that was a signal for Dawud that Shaul was going to try to kill him, and he needed to leave. Verse 38, Jonathan cried after the boy, hasten quickly, do not stay. And Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. 39, the boy knew not anything. Only Jonathan and Dawud knew of the matter. Verse 40, Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, go, bring them to the city. In other words, he was getting the boy out of there so they could have a conversation. Verse 41, when the boy went, Dawud rose up from toward the south and prostrated himself with his face to the ground and bowed down three times. Now that was a great honor. That shows you how much he thought of Jonathan. And they kissed one man to another. Now that's a ceremonial kiss on the cheek. They do that in Italy all the time. They sort of bus it. You know, it's just a ceremony. It's not a mouth-to-mouth sexual kiss. They kissed one man to another and wept. One man with another. They were very grieved because everything was just going to hell. The king was crazy and trying to kill Jonathan's best friend. And Dawood didn't know what he did to deserve this. He didn't know the king was going Lulu. And he was all upset. Verse 42. Jonathan said to Dawood, "Go in peace, as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of Yahweh, saying, Yahweh be between my seed line and your seed line until everlasting." That means when Dawood would become king, he would not take vengeance because of Shaul's bad actions and take it out on the house of Jonathan. Because Jonathan had kids. And they would be under a no harm covenant. He wouldn't hurt Jonathan's children. And the last part of verse 42 in the King James Version is the first verse in chapter 21 in the Hebrew text. So I have placed it to its proper position in chapter 21. Do not include that in chapter 20. They tampered with the verses, and I've restored the whole bit to how it is basically in the Hebrew text where possible. This is going to be an ongoing problem with Shaul until much later. Shaul is just really going off the deep end, and he's doing all kinds of wicked stuff. And Yahweh's really laid this discomfiting spirit on him, because he's gonna destroy him. He's going to ruin him, and eventually he's going to take his life by the hands of the Philistines. But unfortunately, Jonathan is going to die also in that same battle, as well as Shaul's other sons, because Yahweh does not want anyone else to be able to claim the kingship by relations to Shaul. Yahweh is engineering all of this, and he's going to take a bunch of people out to clear the way for Dawood to be the king. Because the seed line of Dawood would eventually result in Yeshua Moshiach. He was the ancestor of our Redeemer. His grand plan. There's no explaining it, really. He's got plans. He's gonna engineer all the way down. Now you see how Shaul has gone bad. And what did Shemuel tell the people of Israel what happened if they rejected Yahweh and wanted an earthly king. He warned them straightly what was going to happen with this situation. And here is their very first earthly king. And he's gone Lulu. Constant war, taken all the best men of the country for his army, leaving nobody to farm the farms, take care of business for their families. Using up the resources of the country. Going after his very best commander, Dawud, trying to kill him. Because he's jealous. And he's afraid. And he realizes deep down in his heart that Dawud is going to be his replacement. And Yahweh's put this spirit of madness on him. And he's throwing javelins. He threw a javelin at his own son. And that's one of those deals. And you can imagine here in the United States if Hillary Clinton had been elected, we would have a mad queen in the White House. Because she's Lulu. Can imagine her ruling over us. It would be Shaul all over again. She'd have us in wars up to our eyeballs that we couldn't support because we don't have the troops anymore. They've gutted the military. They've mothballed the Navy. They want to put troops on the ground where we could sit offshore with our great battleships and just have a few spotters, artillery spotters in inland, hiding in the bushes, and they could just bombard all these enemy troops from a ship offshore. And they've got anti-missile defenses on those ships, and the loss of American life would be minimal. I mean, if you want to go blow something up, use a battleship, sit offshore and shell them. That's still a very effective tactic. You've got planes you can launch off of carriers. So you've got artillery and you've got air support. You don't need to put our people in a hostile country full of caves with all these towel heads just waiting to kill them at night. It's stupid. Well, Shaul was going to get him into a bunch of wars and overwhelming odds of the Philistines against the Israelites, and he's going to get a bunch of Israelites killed. Well, here we are today, and that's what Hillary would have done. Put our men in an overwhelming situation in a foreign land where these guys know every rock and tree and shrub and cave, and they can hide out and snipe our guys. We have lost enough of our youth, our white youth, to these Jewish-sponsored wars. It needs to end, and now we're watching the empire of the Jews collapse. Their financial empire is dying. They're not going to be as powerful, and they're going into full panic mode. Well, there you go with Shaul. He was in full panic mode. Trying to kill Dawood, sending troops out, hundreds of men after one man. Following him all over in the wilderness, trying to kill him. So, he's no better, and Shrillery was no better than Shaul. She's mad as a hatter as well. And there seems to be a large number of people like that gravitate toward that group that she's in with that are just Looney Tunes. Now, they're running a piece of equipment outside, folks. If that comes over the microphone, I'm sorry. I can't help it. They're doing something with a piece of equipment out there. Nothing changes under the sun, really. We're seeing a repeat. Things are not exactly the same, but they're very similar. We're seeing a similar pattern develop with the governmental agencies. We're going to be going through the rest of Shemuel and 2 Shemuel, and then going into the book of Kings, and you want to see some evil, wicked governments, you're going to see that in the following books. 2 Shemuel is all the story of Dawood and all what went on, and I will elucidate that as I go. Dawood didn't do everything right either, but he was the most righteous of all the kings of Israel. And it'll really stand out when we get to King Solomon, Shlomo, because he was very wise at first and then went totally insane over women and married all kinds of racial aliens and started worshiping their gods and just ended up in the end as a complete fool. So Shemuel warned him, and that warning carries over all into today. We are not going to have any kind of a righteous government whatsoever until Yeshua Messiah returns as our divine king and rules the entire planet. Because when he returns on that day, every government in the world will fall. Not just here in the U.S. or in Great Britain. All governments. He's going to rule the world. And on that day, the ultimate white nation will be formed. The kingdom of Yahweh will have its earthly manifestation at that point, and the Israelites will rule. That's what Israel means. You will rule as El. You will rule as a prince or as El. A divine, because we will have divine bodies then. We won't be subject to breakdowns from age or disease. We will be immortal beings. Those of us who keep the faith. You have to keep the faith. You can't backslide and lose faith in Yahweh. You have to be patient on Him. It's going to be His timetable, not ours. We're bound by time. Yahweh is not bound by time. Time only exists as a method of measuring our progress. That's all time is. And there won't be any time. There won't be any more death when Yeshua rules. He conquered death for us. That cough gets to me every once in a while. I need another hit of coffee here. But by the end of this week, I will finish the book of 1 Samuel. The last episode will be on Friday. And then Monday, the 12th of December, I will start in on 2 Samuel. So tomorrow, we will be covering chapters 21, 22, and 23 for Tuesday's show. That will be a redo as well. I recorded both these shows on the same day, and there was a glitch, and the audio didn't get recorded. So I'm redoing the shows. At this time, I've run through the whole thing and had my little sermonette here. So I will terminate the recording and I will say Shalom Aleichem. That means peace be to you. Peace upon you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'll catch you tomorrow on Wednesday's show. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against.